across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning, Wisconsin. I'm not coming to you from Lake Wissota. That was a little bitty fibby. And I'm not Pat Breitlove. I'm Greg Buck. I am Pat's producer. Pat is out today. He'll be returning tomorrow, taking a nice holiday Easter vacation. But we are here for you for the second hour of Up North News Radio. And what would Up North News Radio be without the wonderful Kristen Lyerly?
Happy Monday, everybody! Happy April Fool's Day. Come up with a good one, but make it positive.
Here's one. I am Pat Breitlove. Fooled you. Gotcha.
And I did check in with Craig in the other room, and he suggested that we plug the Christmas Carol Supreme Court idea into ChatGPT to see what comes up next.
Oh, my. Just
that's your homework.
For the first time, GPT comes back with, please don't make me do this.
It has a headache.
That script made it sentient. It just made it like, nope, I'm done. We're happy to have you along with us today for today's show. It's good. We've been having some fun so far. Before we get started with the next hour, just a reminder, Election Day is tomorrow in Wisconsin, and as we stated before, Dr. Lyerly and myself, it's important, don't forget to have your plan, don't forget to know your polling place, know who's on the ballot, know what's on the ballot. You can do that by going to myvote.wi.gov. That will give you a great rundown of who your representatives are, who is on your ballot, where your polling place is, and are you registered? Don't just assume you are. You might not be. Who knows? That website will tell you if you are registered, because if you are not registered, you have to register tomorrow at the polling place, and that can add a little time, but we want you to go there with fervor, with fire, with excitement, and cast that ballot, because that is your right, and never let anyone try to either stand in the way of it or slow you down to do it. So I'm very, very...
And recognizing that this may not be where you're voting for the president of the United States. Like, those primaries have already been decided, but this is where you're voting for the people who are going to make the decisions,
yes,
that impact your community,
yes,
locally, your school districts, your cities, your counties. These are our nonpartisan. These are not Democrats. These are not Republicans. These are our nonpartisan elections.
Yes.
And man, we need informed voters to get out and make sure we've got community building leaders building our communities. We need leadership in the most desperate way right now. So please take the time, learn about who the people are on your ballot, and get out and vote for them.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. The local election is where your money is spent at the local level. So yeah. And also I would say, I know we have very busy schedules. We are very busy people. We're, you know, we've got families, we got jobs, we have hobbies, but make your way to, if you can, a village board meeting, a city council meeting, county supervisors meeting. See what the discussions are that are happening in your literal neighborhood, because that is where those dollars and those elected officials are making big decisions that directly affect you. School board meetings as well. Even if you don't have kids, it's important to go to those meetings to know what's happening in your community. So like I said, I understand we're all busy, but once or twice, I think we can all make that work. So got some temperatures for everybody here. It's, you know, still in the 30s, low 30s in Chippewa Falls and Lake Wissota, 31. Green Bay's at 36. Oshkosh, 37. Appleton, 35. Milwaukee, 38. And Waukesha, where I'm sitting right now, is 34. Of course, it wouldn't be Up North News Radio without Rob getting to us from Tigerton saying, good morning from Tigerton. Got a cloudy skies. 33 degrees. I've been getting lawnmowers, trimmers, and trailers ready for lawn mowing season, but I have to keep the snowblower out. Oh, man. I hope you had a wonderful Easter, and I hope Brittany is feeling better. Yes, Brittany is not with us today again. She is not feeling well, and I said to her yesterday, I said, go to a doctor. She wasn't here Thursday or Friday. She's not here today, and now I'm starting to worry about her, or it's something I said. I'm an offensive person. I say terrible things to people all the time. The amount of cocktail parties I wasn't invited to again is off the charts. But yeah,
right.
We send all our goodwill and hope Brittany is resting and taking care of herself. And we hope to see her sooner than later. So thank you, Rob, for getting in touch with us. I'd love to know what's going on in Tigerton. And before Rob, I never knew there was a place called Tigerton in Wisconsin, and I love it.
Mm-hmm. I love that Rob is reflecting the change in seasons.
Yes.
And how we are always thinking about the next thing.
Yes.
What do I have to do to make sure that my gas line doesn't freeze up over the winter? What do I put in it? Do I run it out? All of those questions, all of those things that you got to figure out as a homeowner or somebody who takes care of your lawn and garden.
Mm-hmm. I need someone to come teach me how to take care of my lawn. I'm becoming Dr. Lyerly, I'm becoming the guy on the block. I'm not happy about this either. My dad would be so disappointed.
Ugh. I had a dream about my lawn last night.
Okay, now, I don't take it that far, you weirdo. All right.
I love being out. I'm a master gardener, actually. And
Of course you are.
It's a wonderful program sponsored by the Extension, the UW Extension. And they teach you about lawns and trees and vegetables and fruits and, you know, your perennials and your annuals, like the whole thing. I just love to be outside. So when Rob was like, yeah, we're getting the lawn trimmer ready and the lawnmower. I love mowing the lawn. I'm like that person. I love fertilizing. Oh, the whole thing. Yeah.
This is what I respect and enjoy about Rob too, is that he had all that stuff for the future out, but he said, I'm not counting my chickens. Keeping that lawnmower, keeping that snowblower ready because you never know. Because you never know. Mm-hmm. Really quick, just some sports info to go over. Marquette, of course, did not make it past the Sweet 16 in the NCAA March Madness, destroying all your brackets fest. They did lose to NC State, unfortunately. But hey, there's always next year. The Bucks did win this past weekend against the Hawks, and they are playing tomorrow against the Wizards. And two things really quick. The Brewers sweeping the Mets, walking into the city that never sleeps and says, you better sleep after this, my friends, because you're going to be napping after the beat we gave you.
I love it. It feels so good, even though we know that the officials, the prognosticators have said that this isn't going to be a great season for the Brewers. It sure feels like a great season right now, and I'm just going to go with it.
I know. I'm going to opening day tomorrow, and I couldn't be more excited. It's going to be so much fun. We're not playing the Cubs. That's happy for me. I would not go to a Cubs opening day, but that's a different story. And then also a big congratulations to Badgers women's hockey. Five women were selected to be on the world championship hockey team. And as you said earlier, Dr. Lyerly, it's no surprise. They just absolutely dominated this season. And it's great to see that sort of talent and hard work being recognized. So congratulations to them. And we wish them nothing but the best luck in the championship. So,
yay, Badger women's hockey.
Yay, always Badger brilliant. Women's hockey. And I'd be just as excited. Do the Gophers have women's hockey as well?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know enough about sports thing than anything else. So.
Well, it is Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota is really the hockey state, which is why, like, those of us in Wisconsin, when our hockey teams are better, it's very, very satisfying. Because we do love to beat Minnesota, and we're consistently doing that.
I just wish that Wisconsin had their own NHL team, but that's for another discussion, too. But someday, maybe.
I know.
Dr. Lyerly, you and I have had discussions on Matt and Air on Air for quite a few weeks now, maybe even a couple months, about going. We always talk about on public service announcement the importance of going to the doctor, especially getting your physical, keeping that, you know, keeping a regular visit in your mind, because so many times, myself included, you go months, years longer without seeing your doctor. And that fear starts to set in saying, well, I haven't been in a while. What if they find something? Well, they if there's something, they're going to find it. You need to know now sooner than later. And I'm saying all that because this Saturday, I went to the doctor.
I'm so proud of you. I think you're right. That fear builds up over time, and you get older and you start seeing your friends having issues, and you start thinking, I'm okay. I feel fine enough. So then you just push it off.
Fine enough.
Perfect. That can down the road.
I feel fine-ish.
But it is so important every year to go in, do that preventative blood work if that is what where you're at in your life. Check your blood pressure. Make sure that you're having conversations about those little things that are bugging you. And just, you know, it's like a tune-up for your body.
Yeah. And
how did your tune-up go, Greg?
My tune-up went really, really well. My blood pressure is surprisingly good. It's come down a little bit, which is good. It's not perfect, but it's not bad either. My EKG read well. I did an EKG. So she shaved my chest, which was very weird. And
she didn't wax it like the 40-year-old virgin?
No, thank you. And then also did blood work. So I'll be hearing more about that. So there's actually not that much to report. And I honestly, I wish we had more time, but I will say this. It was a very routine thing. I didn't walk away with a prescription to get a colonoscopy yet. He said he wants to wait a year, which I thought was kind of odd, but I'm not a doctor. So I just kind of let that be. But I will say this. It wasn't the most, like the woman who did my blood work and the woman who did my EKG, she was lovely. But the doctor just was, didn't seem to, there wasn't a lot of relationship there. And I know I'm new, but I felt like I was in the way of like him watching a ball game. And so I think I'm going to be looking for a different doctor. I heard the nurse practitioner is amazing, but you know, that's something I think is important too, right? If you don't feel like you're connecting with a doctor, it's good to find a different one, or, you know, just find someone you're comfortable with.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because your doctor is, you have to be your own best advocate for your health, but your doctor is the key to helping you figure out what your options are so that you can make the best decision for yourself. And if you feel like your doctor isn't paying attention to you, isn't listening, if there's not a trust relationship there, then you got to find a different doctor.
Yeah.
And, you know, frankly, it doesn't have to be a doctor. It could be a nurse practitioner. It could be a PA. They often have more time to spend with you, especially when it's just routine preventive care, than a physician does.
Yeah.
So absolutely. And maybe we can talk about your test results on public cervix announcement on Wednesday.
That would be absolutely wonderful to do that. Dr. Lyerly, thank you so much for being here with me today. Seriously, like, you made this time go so fast, and it's so fun to talk to you about everything, elections, gardening, getting my chest shaved. I can't wait to talk to you sooner than later. Thank you so much for being here.
Always a joy, Greg.
You are all listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, Up North News. See you soon.
Back now at 7:20 on this Monday morning, time for our weekly visit with Up North News reporter Selena Heller. You can catch the stories that she's working on over on our various social media sites. Look for Up North News WI or go to upnorthnewswi.com. Selena, how's it going?
It's going well. What is it? April Fool's Day?
It is. And you know, I think we've already established I'm not an April Fool's fan. So everything that you're going to hear here is factual. That's the way we're running things here. We're not doing any of the pranky stuff. Got it?
No. Okay. We had some good ones.
What do you mean you had? No, go ahead. What do you got for April 1st?
Well, we always do silly things like take the cream out of Oreos and then put toothpaste in Oreos and then, oh, here's Oreos. Or
who did you do that to? Did you actually do it, or are you just talking?
Oh, yes. We take them to the neighbors, or my sister came over once and Emery set up a bakery, and because we also get donuts, and then we take the cream out of the donuts and then put mayonnaise in them. So we have cookies and donuts. And
I
then
don't know like, who you are anymore. I just know this very sweet, very kind reporter who before my eyes has turned into an April Fool's monster over here. You're probably making children cry.
It's just toothpaste.
It's just toothpaste. Oh, I tell you. All right. Well, it's hilarious. And look, my Oreos made sure I didn't get any cavities. So I'm good that way. All right. Tomorrow is election day in Wisconsin. And obviously there's a presidential primary that won't really mean anything. The real reason for the voting in April is because of all the local nonpartisan races, school boards, and things like that. but also 91 different school referendums are on the ballot. And as we've noted repeatedly, but want to make sure we keep pointing out to folks, the reason for all those referendums is not that all these school districts all of a sudden got greedy. It is truly the symptom or the consequence of a school funding system that's just out of whack. And what did you learn talking to school officials about that?
Well, I talked to Chris Lindner. He is the superintendent of the Loyal School District. And can you imagine going to referendum 4 times in the last 5 years? That's a lot.
Yes.
And he's only been superintendent like 4 years. So he's just been constantly having to do that. And there's just never any reprieve, because once you just get one through, even if it's passed or failed, you just have to start again. You get a breather for a couple of days, he said, you know, maybe a couple months you can rest, but then you have to pick back up and try to figure out, okay, now what are we going to do if it did pass, because it's still ongoing. And they have a small school district of about 490 people, 4K through 12. And he just said, you know, things need to be fixed.
As soon as you pass one, you're almost looking, you might have a few months of a breather and, all right, let's start working on what we're going to do after this and start preparing. And where can we be financially smart, intelligent, and try to get ready for the next one. So, and that's what it is. You talked about how many districts out there. It's just an ongoing thing where you are, seems like you're prepping always for the next referendum.
Well, what I'm hearing there from the superintendent in Loyal is the frustration when he talks about being a never-ending cycle. And again, I come back to, it doesn't have to be this way, but this system has been, you know, just wackadoodle for going on 30 years now. It's complex, and it really puts local school officials in quite a bind that they did not ask for.
Right. They don't want to go to taxpayers and anybody, you know, that's just not something they want to do and spend their time with, because it's just, they spend so much time devoted just to keep the lights on or open the doors. And that's all it is. Some of these operational referendums are really just to keep the doors open. It's nothing fancy. And that's what I asked them. Like, you're not asking for anything fancy. It's just, maybe it's fixing a roof that's leaking, or just a boiler he was talking about. They have boilers and they need that to be fixed. And it's just old buildings.
It's not building, you know, a multi-million dollar, you know, computer lab, or, you know, a whole new, school building in most cases. It's literally just to continue the current operations. And if you had a state legislature that was serious about holding up its end of the bargain, you wouldn't have these referenda. So again, the hope is that people don't take out their frustrations with this system on the school districts tomorrow, but instead wait until November, because the people you should be frustrated with may very well be on the ballot, either in the same district or new districts come November. All right, let's wrap up on a more positive note, that there is a cheer team that is going to a very big stage, but it's not your ordinary cheer team. Tell us about it.
Oh my gosh, this is a great story. Such a fantastic story. A Wisconsin cheer team. It's the only team like it in the state, the only competitive team like it in the state. They're from Ashwaubenon, and they are getting ready to go to a world competition, and it's the Fusion Athletics All-Star Abilities cheerleading squad, and they are a special needs cheerleading team, and they are made up of a wide range of abilities, whether it's autism spectrum or Down syndrome, or one team member is in a wheelchair. And it's just like, I watched a video and it was just so fun, and they just look so, like, just to be a part of that kind of a team is just great. And they are heading to Orlando at the end of April.
Did you get to see their routine at all?
I watched some videos that they had up So I didn't see the full routine, but just some videos of them, I think, practicing.
I was going to say, I'm betting they looked pretty happy with what they're doing there. I mean, you have to. You're a cheer team, you know.
Right.
But I just wasn't sure if it was, you know, if there's a lot of jumping, if it's singing, if it's, you know, tumbling.
There's some tumbling, and they have other people. They incorporate, if there's, you know, those in wheelchairs, they have other members of the team like jumping off of them, off the backs. They hold a wheelchair and they jump off the backs, and they just really incorporate them in all aspects of what they're doing, tumbling or anything. It's pretty cool.
That is very, very cool. All right. Well, I think those are great stories, and I guess I have to close with a story of not from me, because again, I'm not as cruel as you are. But my wife tells the story about how she's the oldest of six kids, and you know, the baby was like about 5 or 6 years old, and I don't know if it was April Fool's Day or some other holiday, what it was, but basically she was really waiting to get to the bottom of a box of Lucky Charms, because apparently there was like, I don't know, a little package of M&Ms or something, and the rule was that, you know, you can't dig in the box. You get to the prize when you get to the prize.
Yeah.
Well, they'd gotten down to the end of the box, and you know, there was this little packet of M&Ms, and she was so happy, and she opened it up, and it was filled with just the oat pieces from Lucky Charms, none of the marshmallows. Turns out Sherry's brothers had actually pulled the M&Ms out of the box, carefully opened the bag, emptied out the M&Ms, put in a bunch of oat pieces, and ironed the bag shut again.
So
I think you would have kindred spirits on April Fool's Day. Selena Heller, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Much more ahead on this Monday, April 1st. Back in a bit. You're up north. Back now on Up North News Radio, and right now, we're talking about Election Day in Wisconsin. It's tomorrow. Polls will open at 7 a.m., close at 8 p.m. Yes, there's a pretty meaningless presidential primary, but there are also very meaningful local nonpartisan races for things like school boards and municipal governments. Plus, you're being asked whether to amend the Wisconsin Constitution to add some limits on how elections are run and funded in Wisconsin, the kind of thing you might not normally add to a constitution, but Republicans in the legislature couldn't overcome a veto threat from Governor Tony Evers. And so now they're trying to talk voters into going down this constitutional path. So here to explain the proposed amendments and the environment that led us to this point, we are happy to be joined again by Deborah Cronmiller, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, a nonpartisan group seeking to improve civic engagement. Deborah, good morning. Welcome back. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you so much for having me.
This is really a busy time for you, so we appreciate you taking some time to get more into the areas of, you know, why these elections are important and the things that are on the ballot. Let's start with the constitutional questions, because they tend to be a little, in some ways, complex and in some ways vague, because again, you're talking about amending the Constitution. So the language might be a little more legalistic, if you will. And in this case, it is about election funding and administration. Can you take us through what these two different constitutional amendment requests are asking of the voters?
Sure. Well, I'll start with the league's position, which is to ask voters to vote no on both of these questions. And we have many reasons for that ask. First, having to do with the funding of our elections. If this were to be codified in our Constitution that no external money to municipalities could be accepted, there's no counterbalance of where that money would come from. Administering elections takes money. Cities have to purchase voting machines. They have to pay poll workers. They have to pay their city clerk. They have obligations having to do with standing up an election, not the least of which is, you know, printing ballots, making sure absentee ballots get to voters. All of those things are real costs. And for many years, long before the 2020 election, municipalities did take grant dollars to help offset the costs of doing these elections. And the reality is, were this amendment question to be codified in the Constitution, and the what's in your ballot is actually not the language that would go into the Constitution, which is another reason the league is quite opposed to this. But basically it's saying that you can't take these external dollars, and we're saying then where is the money going to come from? Municipalities would have to dig into the pockets of their taxpayers in order to fund these elections if it were not for these external dollars. So for many, many reasons, we really believe that dollars and elections, elections need to be full funded. And we can't just say, but you can't take these dollars without also saying, here's where they're going to come from. They're going to come from the state. They're going to come from the federal government. They're going to come from XYZ. But without that provision, it's a risky proposition to be changing our Constitution.
Right. And now, in my view, and it may be oversimplistic, but basically, if the legislature or if state government overall were to more properly fund elections, more properly fund municipal levels of government to afford these things, they wouldn't have to look outside for these kinds of grants. And so the answer for any given legislature isn't necessarily to amend the Constitution to make it tougher to get funding, but to actually provide the funding in the first place. And it is that important, because frankly, if you are choking cash off from local units of government to run elections, I mean, there really is no other way to say this, is that it's going to be tougher to vote. It's going to be tougher to count the votes.
Right. And we believe that without these external dollars, and in the 2020 election, for instance, over 200 municipalities in Wisconsin applied for and received external monies to help support their elections. So it's not just a one-off here and there. It's prevalent throughout the state, in areas that lean to the right, in areas that lean to the left, and it's these dollars are critical. And without them, what we fear is, because there's not an alternate way, codified into law or the Constitution about how to fund our elections, that elections will be underfunded. We won't have enough poll workers. We won't have enough polling places. We won't have early voting opportunities. And these will really be a reality that could suppress the vote. And, for an organization that for 104 years has been advocating that everyone get out and exercise their right to vote, that's a very scary proposition.
Yeah, exactly. And that's to then have, longer lines, fewer people, longer waits for the results, that only, sows distrust in a system that is already getting attacked baselessly. And we're not looking to provide more fodder for people to trust their local elections, less, given how well they're operating right now, how accurate they are, even in the face of all of these attacks of misinformation. You've got over 1,800 municipal levels of government out there who are doing their darndest, but again, have had to reach out to groups like the Center for Tech and Civic Life, the thing that was funded primarily by Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook fame. So you have critics referring to this as Zuckerbucks, but what they don't talk about, but you just mentioned, is that critics say, well, it went to these five, big cities. No, it went to many, many communities, red and blue alike across Wisconsin, Deborah.
Yes, it did. And I think that what voters are not understanding or may not be aware of is that, it's splashy to say that, the Zuckerbucks went to Madison and Milwaukee to fund their elections, and therefore, they're left-leaning dollars or left-leaning influence on our elections. But, it's perfectly accurate that in some of the most conservative areas of Wisconsin, municipal leaders applied for these funds and received them. Everyone who applied for the grant dollars received the grant dollars. So this was the Center for Tech and Civic Life's mission, was to get election administration monies into the hands of folks who needed it. And everyone who applied and stated that they needed it got it.
And that's just a win all across. So that was the first amendment, is talking about outside money. And then the other talks about people who are working on elections. And there too, again, it may sound simplistic, you know, off the top, it may seem almost like common sense, but there's actually a lot more to putting on an election than, you know, that requires people, that requires experts. Again, that requires, essentially it takes a village to put on an election, Deborah.
That's absolutely true. And for that reason, you know, we are opposing this question as well. And I think what people don't understand is that, you know, despite some of the rhetoric that we're hearing about and reading in the media, the people trust their election administrators. The level of trust is quite high, actually, because we know who our clerk is. We know who poll workers are. They're our neighbors, and sometimes they're ourselves. And so we know how elections are administered, and we know that they're done at the highest quality possible, following the rules, the statutes, what's in the Constitution. And I think that this is somewhat of a reactionary question to, you know, feed that narrative that our elections are somehow not of high integrity, when in fact they are. And when you ask somebody on the street, you know, do you believe that your election is secure, it's accountable, it's safe? People say, yes, you know, I know who runs the election, and it's my neighbor, and or it's my clerk who I voted for. And there's a high level of trust. And we also know it does take a village to stand up an election. Many, many hands are involved with running a safe, secure, and accountable election. And our fear at the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin is that were this to pass, that some of the hands that are currently in election administration might not have a place there under this new constitutional amendment. And because we know how many experts there are that are needed to run an election, beyond the folks who are identified in our constitution and law now, there are people who, are part of the clerk's office that may not be the clerk, but they're helping. They're not in the statutes right now. There are volunteers, there are greeters, there are people like, or organizations like the League, that are involved with providing the public education about who the candidates are, what their values are. There's question as to whether or not all of these not identified in the law activities would be allowable should this pass.
And so, again, it seems rather apparent that a yes vote on these constitutional amendments is a vote that would make our elections more sluggish and less trustworthy. But those things will be on the ballot come Tuesday. Also on the ballot is something that maybe a lot of people don't necessarily think about, and that is whether in the presidential primary they vote for a person, or there may be some other option. It's been referred to as uncommitted, or kind of some play on none of the above. And is there something like that on the Wisconsin ballot as well? And what should voters know about that?
Yes, on both the Republican and the Democratic portions of the ballot, you will see the oval, and then the word next to it will be uninstructed. And uninstructed is basically saying that the candidate that is on the ballot, the candidates that are on the ballot, are not to my liking. You know, so party, you put forward these nominees, but I don't like the choices I have. So I'm not voting for who you're asking me to vote for. I'm going to vote uninstructed, and that will allow me then to cast a ballot, to participate, but to send a message to the parties that, you know, do a better job, please, putting up candidates that appeal to a person like me, since the candidates that you have put up are not appealing to me. So that's one message that it sends. Could also send the message to the parties that I may want that person to be my president, but they haven't earned my vote yet. So I really don't feel like I should vote for them in the primary. I need them to earn my vote between now and the election.
And that's the point I often make is you can make this uncommitted vote if you like in the primary, but come November, you have to make a choice. It's much more binary or more if you include third parties, but there is no none of the above. The none of the above is staying home in August for the primary and in November for the presidential election. And that's not what anybody's goal should be at all. We should be looking for ways to increase civic engagement. And so let me wrap up with that, Deborah, asking what after tomorrow's election, the next elections will be the partisan primary in mid-August and then November 5th. What will the league be doing between now and then?
Well, because on February 19th in the state of Wisconsin, our governor enacted new maps that are much less gerrymandered than the maps that we have been burdened by since the 2010 election, we'll have a real opportunity to turn out voters who will know that their vote is going to count, that the races will be competitive. We're hoping that the league can be involved with more voter education on that, but also on candidate education. You know, for a long time, good people who could have been office holders kind of sat back and sat out of elections because they knew, given the gerrymander, there was no way they were going to get elected. So why invest their time, their money, their resources in a losing proposition? And I think now, in coming into the fall with these new Senate and Assembly maps, we will have a real choice. But that will only happen if voters understand that this is the time to come out. This is the time to make your voice heard. Because for the first time in a long time, your vote will count and you will make a difference in the election.
Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. You can get more at my.lwv.org. Deborah, thanks so much. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Back in a bit. You're up north.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio. My name is Greg Bach, and I'm sitting in today for Pat Kreitlow, who will be back tomorrow. He's taking himself a nice holiday vacation. And I'm joined with Civic Media News Director Terry Bell for Three Things You Should Know this week. Terry, how are you doing? How was your Easter?
It was very relaxed, low-key, and very pleasant. How was yours?
Good. I actually spent the whole day building furniture from Amazon.
Okay.
I started with a dog chest, a toy chest for my dog. And then my wife said, well, how about that thing we bought for the kitchen? I'm like, here we go. And that was started at 11:45 and I sat down for the first time at 6. So it was a productive day.
Sure. Sure.
So what do you got for us today, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. So three things you should know. Well, the first thing you should know is that there's an election coming up tomorrow. You may have been hearing about it on the show, I'm guessing. But the important thing on this is the two constitutional amendments. The presidential race will be at the top of the ballot, but those races are already decided.
Yeah.
The one thing to maybe keep an eye on is how successful the uninstructed vote is.
Yes.
And those are the protest votes over President Biden's Palestine policy in Gaza. And the groups organizing this effort, they would like to get 20,000 votes. 21,000 votes. That's how many votes Biden beat Donald Trump in 2020. And they feel that that would maybe send a message. And maybe if they pick up enough votes and enough congressional seats, that congressional districts, that is, that they would be able to maybe get some delegates at the convention this summer. So that's something to keep an eye on. But the two, probably the most impactful things that are happening statewide are these constitutional amendments. One would ban the use of private money for election administration. Republicans definitely did not like Mark Zuckerberg's involvement in, or at least the nonprofits that he gave to, their involvement in helping count the ballot. The importance of this, I guess, depends on how badly you feel local election offices are underfunded. That seems to be somewhat up for debate. You'll hear from some people who say that local election offices just simply don't have the resources they need, and these private donations are very helpful. And on the other hand, there are those that say that, you know, Wisconsin's local election offices do get everything they need, and the sort of private donations not terribly necessary. So there's that. The other question is restricting who works at the polls. The thing is, Wisconsin already has laws that say who can and cannot be a poll worker. So the question is whether this is necessary or whether this is some sort of attempt at mischief, that perhaps there's some kind of Trojan horse inside this referendum that's proposed amendments that people will be voting for something they didn't intend to. Either way, it seems no matter how this vote comes out on the second question, that things are going to go to a court to finally decide exactly who can and cannot work polls in Wisconsin.
Yeah, we were speaking about that earlier, and Deborah Kronmiller was on the show just before, and we had her on Matt and Air on Air, and she said that, look, when it comes down to it, these ideas should have been bills if they wanted to push them through, and to try to put them on the Constitution can have some lasting effect and have problems in the future for us. And the Constitution is rife with constitutional amendments that are striking down previous constitutional amendments. So it's, yeah. I mean, I feel like the people who are saying the elections are plenty funded are the ones not working in those local elections. But that is just my opinion, sir.
Of course, sir. So that's what's going on with that. Also, another thing you need to know, that the presidential campaign heating up in Wisconsin. Donald Trump is going to be in Green Bay on Tuesday. And the thing to keep an eye on, I think the thing that might be surprising is who does or does not appear with Donald Trump in Green Bay, and who does and does not endorse him at that point. People are especially interested to see whether Eric Hovde embraces Donald Trump in this campaign or whether he tries to put some distance between the two of them. So that's one thing we're keeping an eye out on.
I am not envious of Eric Hovde on that decision. I'll tell you that much.
And I guess the third thing you need to know, it's a critical week for Northland College up in Ashland. They have until midnight Wednesday. That's a self-imposed deadline, so we'll see. But they tried 3 weeks ago to start a $12 million campaign, which is awfully ambitious. So I don't know whether they did not realize until the 11th hour that this is the situation they were in, or maybe they should have seen this coming sometime before that. But in any case, they're trying to raise a lot of money in a short amount of time. It does not appear as though they're anywhere close to their goal, according to a letter that the Board of Trustees put out last week. The faculty at Northland College has put forth a proposal that would include things like renting out space to businesses in their classrooms, and even renting out residence halls to the general public as apartments, as well as cutting down on enrollment. So it's a tricky situation. It's a tough situation all over for small colleges. As we well know, in Wisconsin, we're seeing several two-year state schools close their doors in the present and in the months to come. And we've seen another small private liberal arts college in the Milwaukee area close, Cardinal Stritch, I believe.
Yep.
So college enrollment nationwide is down 8%. So this is a reality that that the higher education industry has to deal with. The old business model isn't working, and large families are not producing large amounts of teenagers coming into the system to have these campuses as bustling as they might have been, say, back in the 1970s.
I mean, the idea of going, I mean, like, I've thought about going back to school here and there. Mm-hmm. And, like, I just can't. I finally paid off my student loan. So the idea of taking on even more debt is not an attractive notion. So,
which is one of the things the colleges are dealing with. It costs a lot. Tuition is high. And also people, especially with small liberal arts colleges, are wondering if the higher tuition that they charge, and that is offset by aid and by scholarships. But, you know, people are looking at a return on their investment. Yeah. Families are more so than they ever used to.
Well, thank you, Terry Bell, the three things you should know. Thank you very much for being here. And we'll see you next Monday.
Thank you, Greg.
Take care. You have yourself a wonderful day. Thank you, everyone, for listening. My name has been Greg Bach, still Greg Bach, and I will talk to you all at 10 a.m. Matinee on Air. We'll be back tomorrow with Pat. And don't forget to have that plan to vote. Get out and vote. See you soon. Take care.